sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Nice shooting, John. Way to go.
Thank you, Stan. I'm John Kerlinski.
And I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted and lightheaded and fun looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. And
yes.
Actually, we take some of the issues quite seriously because, Stan, at times we think that they're going for our kids.
They are going for our kids. Now, it's understandable for us to talk about kids because we are big kids.
Yeah.
But we also have our own kids, and we worry about them. And let's face it, when we talk about origins, John, we are talking about things fundamental to how we view ourselves.
And how we view society and how we view everything, past, present, future.
And if I wanted to get a kid off track, I would start early.
Yep. And when Stan, I, as you know, I come from the West Coast, Northwest, and we're in the Northwest, but I'm more farther west. I'm over in the Seattle area. And while over there, we were just the other day visiting the library in Seattle. We bought some friends who were visiting. And they,
centers of education and learning.
They have a huge, actually in many ways, a wonderful children's section, books. Yeah, when you're a parent, you go in and say, what would really do I want my child to learn?
Sure.
And they had a huge section on evolution and through children's books, the teaching of evolution through children's books, dinosaurs, friendly dinosaurs. They had stuffed dinosaurs above the dinosaur section so you could find it quickly.
Okay, and that was in the science sort of a section, not the
science
sort the myth section or fairy tales.
No, no, it
now
was
you
the
might
science
find
sort
the creation,
section.
You find the creation books in the myths.
I didn't see any there.
Oh, you didn't find any at all? Not even in fairy tales sections?
No, I didn't find them there either.
Okay.
Seattle's pretty atheist, you know. They don't believe in God.
They're liberal. Gods, they're
no gods allowed.
Yeah, open-minded. Okay.
Yes.
In one ear, out the other. So, you know, in that, and let's face it, education is where you start. Schools, books. There's various ways into the early minds of our kids. Those things of mush, we call minds of mush.
And there's nothing a child loves more in learning is just to sit on a parent's lap. You know, as a father, I think of all the hours, and I will say hours, days, weeks of time that I had spent reading to my children and reading together.
Yes.
And they'd want to read the book again and again and again until they got these concepts so formed. I remembered one time my daughter was, we were visiting my sister-in-law, and you know Emily, and she would sit there at the age of 2 and a half, she had a book upside down on her lap, and she was reading it upside down, turning the correct pages.
Dyslexic, huh?
And just repeating the exact things that she had memorized, the whole thing. And
Was
saying it with all the inflections.
Oh,
we have
sweet.
It on video. It's just sweet. But kids are sponges. They take in,
they
learn. And it can't help but impact your thinking. And what we find today is when we say they're going for our kids, we're talking about what evolution is trying to teach and what they're teaching at young ages and some of the resources and materials out there. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. And, of course, because in public school systems, the only thing you can teach about origins is evolution.
Yes.
And, of course, dinosaurs are so fascinating and so alluring to our kids. Well, then you just simply present the whole package of, you know, evolution, and this is where we all came from. Dinosaurs came from this way. You came from this way, Tommy and Billy. And you know, and they just kind of get it in sort of one part of their brain. And then if they're fortunate to have Christian parents or parents who have
they
might hear another. But often, those perspectives are kept in separate rooms. And, you know, this is what science says. This is what, you know, this is what truth-seeking, objective science says, and this is what old-fashioned, traditional approaches
parents
or religions say,
say,
you know. So there's no question that this needs to be looked at very carefully as we train our children the way they should go.
Yep, and the sad thing is that when you go through all these materials and you read it all, you go, oh, wow, how do you combat it as a parent? You know, just one shameless plug for one of our colleagues, so to speak, in the battle against the nonsense of evolution is Dr. Elaine Kennedy, a geologist, who wrote a fabulous children's book for kind of your 10, 12-year-old child, maybe the 8, 10, 12-year-old, on dinosaurs.
And dinosaurs, if you ever see, well-illustrated. Yeah.
Well-illustrated. So if you ever want to get a good book on dinosaurs, one by Elaine Kennedy.
There's a scientist that has a respect for God's word, and so you get the complete picture there.
And it's good. If you want to learn about what dinosaurs were, you'll get a good education on dinosaurs, what we truly can say scientifically.
Yep. Yep, the facts. Yep. Nothing but the facts.
Yep, it's good stuff. But Stan, there's things out there. We've run across a few just for your entertainment. You know, when you go, in just researching some ideas for our show, I ran across the word Erschheim.
Erschheim, yeah.
Erschheim, and it's basically, it's a fancy German word. You know, and one of the urban dictionary has sort of taken it over because it's used a lot more outside of its basic meaning. But the new urban dictionary definition says it's a statement, fact that seems suspiciously like it had just been made up. And it's likely the only to be believed or swallowed by the stupid and the gullible.
Yeah.
Originally, right, though, rumor. The way it was used, Erschheim, before it became that sort of a fact that's suspiciously made up to be swallowed by the stupid and gullible, it actually was a word by a natural philosopher, Aachen, a German, who basically said it's basically describing the pond scum.
The pond scum.
It was Erschheim. Yes. It was green gloop. Green glop or green gloop, and it was passed down in the German. But basically, that word now has actually become sort of the theme for an evolutionary child's game. Actually, it's kind of like, you know, you've seen kids play Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Have your kids ever played Sims?
Oh, yes. Expert at Sims. Yes. Building whole worlds and everything.
Well, here, instead of starting with like raw materials and building a world, you start with kind of a dirty snowball landing with a cell on a planet pond, and you start eating other stuff and developing into... And you
showed me the trailer for it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's little bacteria that chews up some other bacteria, and suddenly they grow eyes and everything else.
And then they eat enough other stuff, and pretty soon they get wings and legs, and they go for the land and out of the water, on the land.
It makes you want to stop eating, you know? Yeah. What else will I grow?
and pretty soon there's multiple cells in the thing. And what they're doing is it's an entertaining, cute little game.
It is cute, but it's presented as this is what happened.
Yes, and it's a subtle way of trying to teach children where they came from and teach children how evolution works.
Well, and it really didn't teach anything about how it works except that it did, or it did happen, because eating stuff is not going to develop you into a more cellular, multicellular, more complex animal. So really, it was CG, computer graphics at their best, morphing from one kind of animal into another and requiring about that much scientific explanation as simply boop starts here and boop goes there.
That sounds like the explanation of the fossil record when they want to go down the hominid species. Well, here's this one. Yeah. Here's Lucy.
Here's a monkey
boop,
looking
and then
thing.
Then we skip over something and miss a few links and boop, there's the next hominid. And then boop, and there's humanity, you know, mankind, Homo
exactly.
sapien.
Yeah, morphing as we go.
And that's
morphing as we go would make a good Christmas can. Yeah. Okay,
song.
Okay, Carol.
Morphing along.
So,
but that Stan is really. It's subtle, it's devious.
It looked like a fun game to get into. And what kids would say, I don't think I'll do this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They'll just get into it.
It's so enticing. It's so tempting. It's so alluring. And the sad thing is that it's believed by many of the people, the developers, I'm sure, is true.
Oh, and trying to be helpful for the kids, you know, so they can understand complex things.
They can pass their elementary science classes.
They don't understand it themselves. So how can they teach children? No one understands how evolution actually happens.
Well, you have other examples, though, not just ours. Didn't the famous British atheist spokesman for evolution come out with a book?
Yes, Richard Dawkins, our good friend Richard Dawkins, or Dick Dawkins is his buddy's. No, Richard Dawkins came out with a book called The Magic of Reality, just came out in 2011. And it is meant and well illustrated with cute little illustrations of how we all had ancestors, great-great-grandpa, lizard, and so forth.
You get into the time machines and go back and visit what it was like right, 200 right. million years ago.
Magic of reality. To say that this book has anything to do with reality is like saying the History Channel talks about history. You know, it's just, you know, the words sound believable and there seems to be a supportive kind of idea to it, but it is poor science. And the thing is, it's enticing to children. It's cleverly done. It's beautifully done. And it just simply says, I know you might hear other stories sometime in the future, but this is reality. This is where we really came from.
As if we really know and these people don't. And the irony is when you look a little more closely at it, the critics of the book look more closely at it and realize it's just a negative slam, on religion in general, but Christian religion, Judeo-Christian religion.
Which is what Dawkins has a problem with.
It's not all religions he has a problem with. It's mostly Judeo-Christian religion. Mm-hmm. And he attacks the Genesis story left and right in this book. He talks about where the first rainbow, what it really is and where it really comes from.
Yes,
and
it wasn't this cute little flood story.
And so he tries to debunk in his mind all the supposed myths and give you what is really real, folks. Because I'm Richard Dawkins, and you should know that I know what's really real.
I'm an Oxford professor, for goodness sakes. And what are you? But anyway, you know, so get children early, and you will hopefully steer them to the worldview you want them to have.
And we've been bombarded left and right, from the games to the textbooks, from the libraries to the classroom. It's not surprising that there is a growing kind of agnostic, atheistic underculture.
It's a war. It's a war against Christianity. It's a war against Christian values, and most definitely in the subject of origins. And even Revelation 14, which we believe contains the last words of message, a warning to this world, is a call to come back to God as creator and worship him, acknowledge him as the source of where we came from.
And that training and teaching has to begin early. We have a torpedo text here, which we believe sort of summarizes the philosophy which undergird all Christian homes.
And actually, frankly, Richard Dawkins is basically betting on as well, because Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
So Dawkins is hoping that if I can just catch these kids early enough, we can hopefully derail Christianity.
Steer them away from that.
Steer them away from that
stuff.
Stuff, that mysticism, and we can just get them into the real science of the cold, nihilistic, no accidental beginnings and accidental endings.
It's funny that he calls it magic of reality. In other words, almost a supernatural quality of the natural.
Poof.
Magic.
Yeah, magic. Ho, ho, ho. You know, yeah.
It is magic if his reality, his world is magical. In other words, it's made up and not
really.
It's
more like the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour.
Yes, exactly. Yes. What tour is he taking us on?
Yeah, he goes, I have to drop these pills and let's go.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
Yes, we picture yourself on that boat on a river. Yeah,
and that's what Dawkins wants these kids to do, is picture themselves being evolved from amoebas to lizards to apes to here we are.
Here we are, Stan.
It's a magical tour we were on.
Wonderful, wonderful. Really, what we need to take children on is a tour that gives them a true beginning, a meaningful and purposeful existence.
A high calling.
And a glorious and hopeful ending, which is another factor which otherwise, why worry? Why have morality? Why even worry about teaching children if God doesn't exist?
They need to be taught they are special creations of a God who had them in mind when they were made.
Not only made, but redeemed. And so we have, by creation and redemption, the story of God and the real story. And we hope you'll teach your children those things.
Yes.
Tune in again to another Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways.